Jesus said it would be better for you to lose your sight than to use your eyes for the purpose of lustful looks. That makes the uncontrolled use of the eyes very serious, doesn't it? Howard A. Walter wrote these words in one of our great Christian hymns. I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I thought of that song while considering our subject, How to Avoid an Affair. Let the person who is tempted to sexual sin remember the words, I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. To become involved in sexual sin is to betray the trust of the ones who trust us and break the hearts of those who care for us. A thing is not right just because it seems to hurt no one and is between consenting adults. A thing is right when it agrees with the nature and purpose of God, and only then is it right. Since he speaks so clearly against sexual sins, even pronouncing the death penalty upon adultery in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, human opinion does not make it any less a sin. So we must find an answer to the question, how can I avoid involvement in sexual sins in our permissive society? I've called your attention to the experience of David, king of ancient Israel, and his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, the wife of a soldier in the king's army. We've seen a first principle which the king violated. If you would keep pure, guard your leisure time. Now here is a second principle. If you would keep pure, control your eyes. The record tells how King David was walking on the balcony of his palace in the cool of the evening when from his elevated position he looked through the windows into a nearby house and saw a beautiful woman as she was bathing. From that look there followed lust, seduction, deception, and finally, murder. How different the case would have been if David had only controlled his eyes. It has been said, the eyes are the windows of the soul, and what we permit to enter through the eye gate has a tremendous influence upon us. That is why we turn our eyes away from something which repels or frightens us and continue to gaze at something which attracts or entertains us. We tell on ourselves by how we control our eyes and what we permit ourselves to look upon. At one time, David had prayed, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in your way." But he forgot that prayer when he looked at Bathsheba. The Bible says she was very beautiful to look upon. I think David's looking at her was not an accidental glimpse from which he turned away in respect for her, and with no intention to invade her privacy. He watched her. He gazed upon her. He fantasized about a sexual involvement with her as he followed her with his eyes. And there was his downfall. He did not control his eyes. I do not believe that Bathsheba was a seductress who was bathing purposefully in a visible place to get the king's attention. She was in the privacy of her home. She was visible only from the elevated balcony of the palace and did not realize she was being observed. It was an intrusion for David to look into her home. He was as a peeping Tom today who would slip up to look into the window of a lady's room. Such a thing is unworthy of a king, of a man who reverences God, of a man who as king was responsible for the welfare of all the people in his nation. But it was the consequence of a failure to control the eyes. Now that problem did not end in ancient Hebrew history. I speak as a man, and I know by experience that much sin begins with the improper and intentional look. I do not refer to a look in which a man sees a lovely woman, is attracted by her beauty, but does not pursue it any further. No, I refer to the man who looks and then takes a second look. He looks again and perhaps moves in order to have a better look. He gazes, and while he looks, he permits his undisciplined thoughts to pursue the line of, what if? Thus sin is conceived in the heart by the look and the thought. Now Jesus warned against that very thing. He said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now God made us male and female and put in our natures an attraction for the opposite sex. And there's nothing wrong with that because God designed it. What Jesus condemns is lustful thoughts cherished with the look, an impure intention toward the woman, and an evil desire for her. Now, how serious is such a sin of the eyes and of the mind? Well, Jesus continued his warning against sexual sin by saying, "If your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that the whole body be cast into hell." Jesus said it would be better to lose your sight than to use your eyes for the purpose of lustful looks. That makes the uncontrolled use of the eyes very serious, doesn't it? The Apostle Peter wrote of men who have eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. They are so undisciplined that they look with lust upon every woman they meet, however chaste and pure she may be. God severely condemns those who are in such bondage to sexual lust. What then can a person do to control the eyes and remain pure in these areas? I offer these suggestions. 1. Do not take that second look. Now, the accidental look is innocent. The intentional look is sin. A man may see a beautiful woman and be attracted to her without sin, but when he pursues that attraction by look or thought, it becomes sin to him. Jesus said so. So do not take that second look. 2, discipline your thoughts when you take the first look. A man told me of the way he escaped lustful thoughts. He read in the Bible, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you're not your own?" He said when a lustful thought came, he would remind himself that the woman's body was sacred. It belonged to God. And immediately, his impure desires would fade. You see, the battle is fought in the mind. Conquer your thoughts, discipline your eyes, and the sin will not follow. 3, resolve to be sexually pure. Job 31, verse 1 states the principle in these words, "I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid?" In other words, he made a covenant, a vow, not to sin with his eyes. It was a solemn rule which he imposed upon them because he had made a covenant before God to keep his eyes from sin. He recognized that to think upon a maid was to take notice of her, gaze at her until he lusted after her. And he invoked a most severe judgment upon himself, financial ruin and family dissolution, if he followed his eyes to lust and was led astray by what he had seen. He recognized that God saw his ways and knew his thoughts, so he resolved to be pure. He resolved not to be enticed or to long after another's life. He recognized adultery to be a shameful sin, a premeditated crime which should be punished. For passion uncontrolled is a fire that burns to cinder and destroys all that is worthy. Father, we would be free from sexual sin, so we guard our leisure time and control our eyes. We resolve to be pure, making a covenant with you to discipline desires and to live worthily of the name of Jesus, which we confess and in which we pray. Amen.